Brendan Joyce is here. Thanks to Nun Media, buying experts. Great to have him back for 2019, particularly where he's wearing a New England Patriots jersey with a big number 12 on the front and the back. Hello, Joyce.
Ready for number six, mate. Belichick.
The one thing you can say about this, and this is a great sports talk, I reckon, you know, the 41-year-old quarterback, you know, they're probably the poorest list that team's had in terms of pure sort of, you know, position players and star depth in the Belichick Brady era. People were prepared to say that the dynasty's over. Well, don't matter what happens now. The dynasty's
been saying it for 4 or 5 years now. Well,
they've been trying to barrack for it, haven't they? It's amazing. Yeah. Can you remember a player in basketball? And I'll just right off the top. So Brady's 41 and still producing. Who, you know, into their late 30s, I don't know how many blokes were playing at NBA or NBL level at 40 plus, but got into that sort of age demographic who was still one of the top players in their relative leagues.
Well, two jump out at me. Leroy Loggins.
he's the answer to so many categories
40,
for you.
You know, over 40, 41, yep. I think he played. And probably could still play because I think the average is about 15. The other ones that people have forgotten about is Darryl McDonald.
Of course.
He played when he was 40 years old, you know, just giving it some thought then. And he was an absolute beauty. Yeah, he was more of a role player, but won a championship, I'm pretty sure, when he was 40 as well.
So is there a common – you look at AFL footy and you look at the guys that played, you know, 400 games and, you know, you look at guys like Tuck – and Bartlett in particular, they were light. They didn't carry a lot of muscle. They were lean, lithe individuals. There's something similar between McDonald and Loggins as well, isn't there?
Well, sinewy. If you looked at both those blokes, you wouldn't say they were massive physically, but sinewy, wiry, strong. And those guys tend to last forever. You talked about Bartlett just then, sinewy little guy, but I'm sure he was pretty strong.
Ostensibly here to talk about, you know, basketball, but there's deviations from a coaching and player performance perspective that I love throwing your way. And while we're watching Ash Barty, you see the physical transformation in Barty Joycey. She's gone from, you know, being, you know, what she was 12 to 18 months ago physically to what she is now. And you can see the transformation. She's clearly got herself in some great nick. And the results are starting to come their way. Well, what a fantastic positive to throw at a player. You put in the work, you get yourself in game, Nick, and look what can come your way.
Yeah, look, everybody needs, I think players need someone that's going to believe in them, but also understand their strengths. So from a coaching perspective, I'm sure she's getting pretty good direction there. Mm. And I remember the captain of Richmond, she was around the Richmond footy club.
Oh, absolutely.
Too.
She was, so, yeah, Trent Cotchin. Yeah, Trent. Absolutely, a whole lot of them. Yeah.
So, you know, I reckon all that rubs off on you in respect to, you know, trying to improve yourself physically, mentally. And you just see it's in her eyes, isn't it?
Yeah,
her
it really
determination.
Is. Yeah, absolutely.
And then there's the physical change, which everybody sees. But she's a great role model, that's for sure, for what's going on with tennis.
We're talking about old blokes who kept playing at a very high level and some of their physical characteristics. Well, Dustin Fletcher, we should have mentioned his name. He's another one that sits alongside those two. And in terms of old blokes who continue to produce outstanding levels of performance, Tim Duncan. I mean, what a phenomenon he was.
Well, Tim Duncan, you make me think of Manu Ginobili.
Yeah.
A young bloke, he wasn't a young bloke when he first started. And going back, you made me think of him then when you're talking about Barty. I remember having a talk with Glenn Saville when he was 20 years of age. He wasn't working hard enough. And I asked him, you know, what's your goals? Oh, I really don't have any. I just want to play in the NBL because I wasn't playing him a whole lot. And he was a wiry guy at the time, an athletic, and pretty much his whole career. And, you know, cut a long story short, finally got him to focus on, you know, putting the work in.
Yep.
I said to him, mate, you could go to the Olympics. I believe you could be an Olympian. And, you know, at that time he didn't believe it. Ended up being a dual Olympian. But, God, he was a pretty lazy, I'm going to say, a pretty lazy guy for a 19, 20-year-old. And it took, you know, for me to probably discipline, say, mate, you're not going to get your minutes until you put in the work. And everybody would probably know that's into basketball, dual Olympian, and he ended up playing till he's 36 years of age.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know, because he was wiry. And, yeah, what about Dustin Fletcher? How good was he?
He's phenomenal.
From a footy player, it's a different sport too.
Yeah.
Physical.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
He amazed me, Dustin Fletcher.
So before we get stuck into some basketball stuff, and because things just keep coming to me here now, Have you watched enough of Nick Kyrgios, and have you observed his body language enough, and have you started to form an opinion on? So we start at the start of the show. I asked, you know, the audience, where's he going to be at the end of his career? Is he going to be a great tease throughout, or will the talent be recognised? Is he as talented as some of us think he is? And you know, we might get back to that a little bit later on. But
I reckon he is.
You reckon he is?
Yeah.
Okay. So what's he got to do, Joycey?
He needs to believe. He needs to find the right coach.
Yep.
He needs to find a coach that believes in him and understands his strength, understands his personality, to work with him and obviously manage him. And I think he's made huge grounds in the last 18 months. Yeah. He's definitely, you know, okay, the dummy spit, but he's definitely improved in those areas. But he needs to find a coach that he believes in. The coach needs to believe in him, understand his strengths. Obviously, you look at him, he's a wiry, super athlete.
Yep.
I see a young Glenn Saville. I know he loves the basketball, and I've seen him on the basketball court in Canberra.
Yep.
He's not bad, you know.
Well, maybe you should have a word to him. Maybe he can do with you in his corner.
Well, you know, it's the psychology, especially in an individual sport, is even greater because it's just them out there, mate. They're on their own.
Well, talk to me about this psychology because this is a really interesting text message that came through when we were having a chat about him earlier. Now, I won't read it all because it's quite long, but he said, to me, and there's no name attached to this, so I can't attribute it, but to me, Kyrgios looks like a bloke that's scared of trying his best and failing. So it goes on, but he looks like a bloke who's, I want to be an entertainer. The shots behind the back, the stuff between the legs. I want people to see the great talent, but it's also a bit of a cop-out, I reckon. It's also, and I agree with that text message, I reckon, is that something that some people have to get over?
If you think about a team sport, let's just jump back to team sports. In basketball, you've got the different personalities, and you need some flamboyant personalities. You need some, you know, got guys, introverts, extroverts, to make up from a team point of view. So those guys, if someone's down or they're not right, they can get picked up by their teammates and dragged along and always encouraged. You know, I think of a boxer, and, you know, everyone used to talk about Mundine, how he head up his backside. Just think about it for a minute, Andy. You step into a ring, it's just you and him. If you don't have that self-belief, or if you can't talk yourself up to have that self-belief, you're done. And I think it's the same in any individual sport. They're on their own once they're on the court. But the help outside, and certainly, you know, from a coach's perspective and the psychology, he's got the talent. He just needs to manage those emotions and what you're talking about. There's no doubt, I reckon, he might not admit it, but there could be some anxiety. You're talking about anxiety now, and I guess creating something to hide that anxiety, you know, the fear of actually
losing.
And
it gives him a bit of an out, I reckon, too, Brennan, because is he going to have a coach? Who does he listen to? Where's he going to get his direction from? He often goes, you know, on his own with his own kind of family, people around him without a coach.
Yep.
It sort of gives him
you don't want to kill someone's spirit. Like, I find coaching, and you hear it, I get it, you know, this player's got a bad attitude and this. Well, what's the bad attitude? You know, tell me what's bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes kids get labelled, and you know, he's brought a bit about this on himself. But then we've got to, what his weakness is, his strength, like that spirit.
Well,
it's a balancing act, because I think I love watching him play tennis. How good was it last year in the Australian Open?
Yeah.
I
think McEnroe's clearly a fan of Kyrgios. You hear in his voice, he was frustrated last night, John McEnroe, watching that match. I think he was trying to get inside the psyche of Kyrgios a bit last night. But McEnroe, I loved McEnroe. Watching him play,
Him and those Borg matches were unbelievable.
They were.
And I was on McEnroe's side.
So was
then.
I. Yeah. But the one thing about McEnroe that I reckon Kyrgios doesn't have is McEnroe was always, he had the killer in him. Like he wanted to kill the guy on the other side.
And I've got no doubt the consistent work ethic.
No, well, that's right. And
he's probably a question mark over Nick. Is he consistent? We don't know. We're on the outside, but he has to let somebody in.
Yep.
Somebody that he respects and he's going to listen to.
Hmm.
And it might not necessarily be a tennis person, like you just said. It could be somebody that had the experience of coaching difficult personalities and maybe presses the right button and helps him go in the right direction.
He's got to want it, though, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Glenn Saville.
I reckon deep down. Yeah, Glenn, I'm telling
you now.
They've
got to want it, you know.
Glenn Saville looked like, and people said the same thing about him. Oh, look at him, he's lazy, his body language. And, I could see all that, but I saw this talent, this athletic talent, that if he put in the work, could reach at that point in time. I said, mate, you could go to the Olympic Games. And I remember saying, what are you good at? He said, oh, I'm athletic and I can rebound. But I had to say to him, mate, look, let's have a look at this. You're shooting 25%. You turn the ball over more than you make an assist. you know, so that you're not a good passer. So you're not a good shooter. Defensively, you're always doing pirouettes. You say, you're saying I'm not good anyway. I said, right now you're not.
So did he get offended by that?
I remember the one-on-one conversation. You know, it's a time, and he's wanting to play more. I said, well, let's go through it. And it was a turn of points. And Matt Campbell, who had less talent, another kid we talked to, about, I think, off-air.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Yeah, and he was putting in the work, and he was playing a bit more, and everyone was shocked because Matt didn't go through the Australian Institute of Sport. Glenn did, Glenn Saville. And I'm playing the kid that didn't, different pathway, because he, at that point in time, he wanted more. Once the penny dropped with Glenn, he MVP of our grand final series, NBL championship, dual Olympian, and him and I have the greatest, you know, great relationship from this day onwards. I had to tell him what he didn't want to hear. I had to tell him what he didn't want to hear, and it was a conversation could go one way or the other, and we made an agreement. I think if you do this in 4 to 6, 8 weeks, you know, we set it some goals. Let's see, you know, you'll probably be playing 15, 20 minutes within, provided you do the work, I've got no doubt. And that's what happened. Like, after about 6 weeks, he went from 10 minutes to 20 minutes. By the end of the season, he was starting. You know, I didn't promise him that, but the end of the season, and then the next year we made the playoffs together, and, you know, we won a championship.
Outside of winning championships, having those individual wins with players and seeing them, helping them realise what they can be and seeing them get there, is that as good as it gets?
Yeah, well, everyone talks about what's most enjoyable. Obviously, pinnacle winning championships. Yep. How you win them, do you buy them, do you build them? You know, we know in some sports they're bought.
Yep.
So for me, it definitely wasn't bought at Wollongong, so I take pride in building that. But the biggest, I think, seeing people play to their strengths and play to their best, that's what you get pleasure out of as a coach, more so than winning the championship.
That's great.
I think that for me, that's what it is.
Yeah, Brake, I just asked you, and your jaw nearly hit the table. There's rumours out of the States, I don't know how valid they are, but for the last 4 or 5 days they've been rolling around, that Ben Simmons might be up for trade. That maybe they're looking to trade into New... There's a whole lot of rumours around him. I don't know how substantial they are, but maybe Anthony Davis from New Orleans might be part of that. Could you imagine... And I know you speak to Brett Brown. Can you imagine the 76ers parting ways with Ben Simmons?
No, I can't imagine it. Brett would lose his job, I'd say, if he was traded, or whoever tries to trade him. Look, Anthony Davis for Ben Simmons, how does that work? You've got Joel Embiid as their centre, Anthony Davis as their centre. He could play power forward. But that would be a completely unbalanced team. It'd be crazy. Unless there were a guard thrown in the mix, which I just don't see. They're really promoting, you know, Ben Simmons and Joel as the future of the organisation.
Yeah.
So I'd be blown away. And with what Ben's doing, again, you know, they 149 to 107, they beat Minnesota. Ben was one assist off a triple-double again. You know, 20-plus, 15 rebounds. Like, he's getting triple-doubles. He's going to be an all-star. You know, he's our greatest player ever already, which people will ring up now and say, but hey, no one's ever produced these numbers.
Not in this league.
Yeah, you can talk about Lauren Jackson in the women.
Yep.
You know, there's only 12 teams in the women. You know, we've got like 30-something teams in the NBA.
Yeah. From a men's perspective, it's
unbelievable.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Do you know much about the Dengadel story? I mean, this is great news that was confirmed a couple of days ago. Do you know much about this young man?
I don't know a whole lot about him. I know he's been bouncing around trying to get a pro contract, and it's just great to hear that he's got that two-way contract at Cleveland.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, another talent that Andre Lemanis is going to have at his hands. You know, he's two-way wins, you're in the NBA.
Yeah.
You're playing games and you're getting your 300K.
Think about where he was. He was 8 years old when he came over with his dad, with his mum, I think, and maybe not even with either parent, living with his grandma. He started playing at 14 years of age. He started playing at 14, and here he's now 22 or 23, you know, with his two-way contract, making that sort of money, with the world at his feet, really, if he can make the most of what's in front of him now. It's an incredible story.
You'll find a lot of the kids, Sudanese kids, that have started late, quite a few of them, and, you know, they play out in the streets, and so they develop their skills out in the streets, and then, you know, obviously need coaches to hone their IQ in understanding the game. So you're going to see a few late bloomers with those kids.
Yeah.
And, but, the, you know, how, what's our team going to look like in 15, 20 years?
I don't know. Disappointing that I think Luke Longley's suggested that it doesn't look like Ben Simmons will be playing for us at World Cup. He may not be available to the Australian team. That's a bit, we've got about 20 seconds here. That's pretty disappointing if that's the case.
Yeah, it is disappointing. A lot of, we don't know the ins and outs. Sometimes it's insurance. It's the timing of everything. But Andrew Bogut passed up on one. All our superstars, we were always nervous, Gorgie and I, about whether players were going to play or not, and we missed out on a few along the way.
Love having you in. Good to see you. Happy New Year to you, and I'll hopefully speak to you next week.
No worries.
Good on you. Brendan Joyce joining us.